regardless the horrific things, the killings in Gaza and the massacre, Netanyahu doesn't want to plan anything ahead. He doesn't want Hamas to be there. He doesn't want the PA to be there. He doesn't want any kind of Palestinian authority in Gaza. And with that understanding, many people understand that Netanyahu will just want to stay in this status of war maybe forever. Then he doesn't have to bring the hostages. To release the hostages, he has to pay a political price to release Palestinian prisoners. This can endanger his coalition with Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and other extreme right-wing figures who oppose any release of Palestinian political prisoners. So with time, you do hear, so people are calling for ceasefire and for a deal, but from an internal Israeli perspective of releasing the hostages and thinking about the day after, and less from the perspective we're seeing abroad of just calling to end the massacre in Gaza.
And finally, we just have about 30 seconds. We last talked to you where that thousands of Israelis gathering with Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, calling for Jewish settlements in Gaza, etc. Do you see a growing group of people opposing that in Israel?
Yes, definitely. The group that was calling to settle in Gaza, among with the activists who are blocking the aid, are confronted by the Israeli mainstream public that thinks that this is A, irrelevant and cannot be done. And also,
RNZ, we're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you so much for being with us. Reporter and photographer for 972 Magazine. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation for our annual board election in September, KBOO's nominating committee will be holding virtual information sessions from now through June. KBOO's Board of Directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of all of our members. BIPOC persons are especially encouraged to apply. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/board recruiting. Thank you for considering board work at KBOO.
KBOO just finished our annual All Thrills, No Frills special programming campaign. We want to thank all of our supporters for helping us bring the community engaging, unique, and all-around fun special episodes and killer marathons. We wouldn't be able to do it without you, our listeners. And if you missed out on any of our programming, you can check out the list of specials at kboo.fm/thrills.
Good morning. You are listening to community radio station KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis. Via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. We are broadcasting on the first day of April 2024. It is 8:02 a.m. This is More Talk Radio, and I am Cecil Prescott. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is great to be here, and it is great to be a part of this conversation. Now, I do know that today is the first day of April, and as I was reminded, things might go a little bit strange today, or you might do things that are strange. But let me say just right now that this is a program, and we are live, and we invite your participation in this program, and just be aware of things around you. on this, the first day of April. I was also reminded, not only is this the first day of April, but that the staff of KBOO takes off, is off today, not because of April 1st, but because it's the day after March 31st. And here at KBOO, we honor the life of Cesar Chavez, who is remembered and honored on the anniversary of his birth, March 31st. So I want to acknowledge and remember and celebrate Cesar Chavez, a true hero, a true American hero, a pioneer civil rights activist, one who embodied in his life the principles of justice, who was able to form together a community based on principles of championing militant, nonviolent social change. He's a crusader for labor rights, workers' rights, farmers' rights, consumer rights. And on this day, March 31st in 1927, Cesar Chavez was born, and all of us who have experienced life here in the United States, we are blessed by the presence and the activism of Cesar Chavez, and celebrate his legacy and hope that we will continue to not only heed his cry to work for justice, but to continue in the ways in which we create the society we want. Cesar Chavez, thank you for your service. Thank you for all you are and your inspiration. Cesar Chavez is one American who offer a vision of our society and what we should be like. Too often today, we don't have that vision of a society which welcomes, which gathers, which celebrates the diversity and inspire us to create a society of justice for all. I hope that as we continue our conversations, not only this morning, but, you know, in the days ahead, that we are reminded of people such as Cesar Chavez and what their legacy mean and how we can be inspired by who they are and what they say. So how do we create a society which encompasses and includes people from all walks of life and certainly hear their stories? Last week here on this program, we talked about the challenges we face as a society in terms of creating public spaces where all are invited and all are encouraged to participate and to help create a better society. We asked last week, what are your favorite public spaces? I'm going to alter that a little bit by asking, in the spirit of Cesar Chavez, what are those things that inspire you? Who are those individuals who inspire you in a society where it seems that might is often right, that caring for the least of those around us is disregarded and is no longer held as a principle to be honored, but it seems as if me first becomes most important. So then, who are those individuals and movements that you continue to draw inspiration from? Now, you know, there are certain political figures, but there are also persons who are movement figures. There are persons who are organizing, whether it's in your community, whether it's in your workplace or your school, your labor union. There are people who continue to inspire and bring hope. Who are those individuals and communities which bring hope? We mentioned Cesar Chavez as someone who brought hope. Who are others who bring you hope? Now, there is so much that is happening in our world today. And I just want to acknowledge, you know, when there is so much frustration and anger and bitterness and violence and war, that people continue to organize and continue to challenge the authorities which want to keep the freedom and the inspiration of building community down. And so what gives you hope? What gives me hope? What gives me hope, at least today, for this, you know, for the next 15 minutes at least, is just reading the and listening to the story of how people are organized and in the state of Israel in terms of stating their opposition to the present government. Certainly we have seen people rising up throughout the world, crying out for justice for the victims. And it gives me hope that communities are rising up and speaking for justice. What are some things that gives you hope? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And I invite you to call and participate in our conversation and share what gives you hope. Now, one thing I want to also share, March 31st is not only the anniversary of the birth of Cesar Chavez, but since 2009, it has been the Trans Day of Visibility. It is the day in which we honor and recognize and indeed celebrate our siblings who are trans, and we, in this era when there is so much violence and hatred towards the trans community, it is important for community to stand up, and it is so important to be supportive of the trans community. So in relation to Cesar Chavez, I want to ask you, how are you able to stand in solidarity with the trans community? Are you able to stand? And what are the challenges you face, we face, in transforming so much to honor those in the trans community? Let's hear some of your thoughts. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. March 31st was the day in which we celebrate and honor Cesar Chavez. It's also the day in which we recognize as Trans Day of Visibility. Those can be interesting markers. April 1st is traditionally known as the Day of Tricksters. Are you a trickster, or have you been tricked? Well, I can talk about who I think is a prominent trickster in the American scene today. And you know, I'd wake up and say, well, maybe it's just an April Fool's joke. But I think it is a reality of our society. So that trickster is not an April Fool's joke. He is an existential reality. And what do we do about that force in our society, those forces in our society? Those of you who had a chance to glean through your morning news might have gleaned in terms and read some stuff about what's happening in different parts of the world. I mentioned thousands of people who were standing up against the government in Israel, denouncing the government of Israel. We might also be aware of the recent elections in Turkey and how the people of that country are standing up against tyranny. What are some of your thoughts? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. Are you creating April justice, or are you being an April fool? Let's go to our first caller. Good morning, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Cecil. I really appreciate your time. Your question was, what gives you hope? I want to honestly say, you being on the air and getting out to people and making people aware of our surroundings and what's going on definitely gives me great, great hope. I hope our radio community is getting out there and getting other people involved and just becoming aware. The awareness alone is gives me great hope.
Well, thank you for your kind words, and especially telling us about awareness. And I think each of us can give hope to one another. So thank you for giving me hope. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe we can pass that on just with simple gestures.
Indeed.
Thank you much for your time. Once again, I really, really appreciate your input and what you've contributed over the years to our community.
Thank you for your nice words.
And anyway, you take care now. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you. You as well. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our next caller on this day is Corey. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Cecil. Thank you so much for talking about this topic. One of the greatest things that I was part of when I lived in Portland was working down at Bud Clark Commons, working with unhoused individuals, and I had an unhoused trans individual, and you'd be surprised how difficult it is for an unhoused trans person, not to say, but an unhoused person, period, but an unhoused trans person trying to get an apartment or getting permanent housing. Mm-hmm. And I worked with this individual for a couple months, and I remember that, you know, we worked on it, and we got them an apartment, and it was just kind of, that was a great moment for me, because at certain mm-hmm. times, we went to two different apartments in Portland, and this was a couple of years ago, but mm-hmm. when we arrived, all of a sudden, the apartment wasn't available anymore, and mm-hmm. that just tells you the bias that these individuals have to deal with. But long story short, last summer I was down in Pike's Place, and I was, you know, hanging out with my wife. We're sitting up in Seattle, and someone tapped me on the shoulder, and it was them. And they are actually thriving. I mean, that was, you know, when I met them, it was during Occupy, so that was 2011, 2012. But they're actually thriving. And so it's just that sort of, you know, taking the time to help individuals who identify as trans. And housing is important. I think the housing first model has its flaws, but I think that, you know, in living as an unhoused person is traumatic, period. But as an unhoused trans person, I think it does compound, not to take away from anybody, but I think it does compound the situation. But I think once they got settled and got housing and, you know, started working, and like I said, the fact that we sit there and talk for like an hour, and yeah, they were like, you don't have to thank me. Like, you know, it's all good. Like, I'm happy that you're thriving. But just to see, and also this was a young person, mm-hmm, and to listen to them, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, and now well in their 30s, also ages me a little bit, but uh-huh, to see them thriving and to engage with them, and, you know, the stuff that they say, like, you're probably one of the few people that treated me like a human at that time. It's like, yes, well, I mean, I was going to, you know, number one, do my job to help you get housing, but also, like, yeah, I'm sorry that you had to experience that, especially in Portland. Like, you know, you would think Portland is progressive. Like I said, I was there.
Yeah.
And those two occasions when the housing was rejected, it was just like, well, why? Oh, you don't want to house a trans person. Cool. Right. We'll keep on pushing. So thank you for talking about this topic. I find it of great importance.
Thank you so much, Corey. And thank you for sharing that story and sharing with us the challenges that those who are trans face in our society, even in so-called progressive areas.
Thanks so much.
And you are listening to your community radio station, KBOO FM 90.7. I invite you to give us a call. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We've been speaking this morning about that, those things, those individuals, those movements which give us hope. A first caller, and I think it was David, who shared how each of us can give us hope and said some very kind words. And our last caller, Corey, spoke about the work that he did in helping individual get access to housing, trans individual, and also reminded us the challenges that trans individuals, trans community face. It is challenging, and so we are called to be better, to be better neighbors, and to be better advocates for one another. So let me back up, because March 31st was not only the anniversary of the birth of Cesar Chavez. It was not only the day in which Trans Day of Visibility, but this year it also happened to be the day in which Western Christians celebrate their holy day, their holiest day of Easter. So, you know, there's a confluence of forces all happening at that same day. Now, you know, I thought it was, you know, it was really fantastic and encouraging that on this year, that Trans Day of Visibility also happened to fall on the day in which Christians celebrate Easter. And because it seems so perfect, if you're familiar with the Christian story, Jesus lived and died on Easter. There's the affirmation that he rose from the dead, and so he was transformed. Okay, hold on to that. Okay, he was transformed. So, a person who I follow, Rachel Ward, they wrote for Trans Day of Visibility this year. I'm reflecting on what it means for trans sibling to resurrect into their joy, right here, right now on this earth, for trans siblings to no longer be stuck in a tomb, forced to wear clothing that doesn't share who they are through and through, no longer tucked in a tomb, forced to hide their names and pronouns for fear of being bullied, no longer tucked in a tomb, forced to adhere to legislation attempting to disembody the imago Dei within them. Easter resurrection is an invitation and reminder that when God comes out for humanity in full love, God meant every single one of us. So it's just a confluence of forces in terms of talking about justice and what we can do for justice. So what are some of your thoughts? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And I want to give you information about another program. But first, I think we should hear from someone with some wise words. And that person is Janet. Thank you for calling, Janet.
Hey, back upstairs from Dave Dellinger lady, right?
And indeed. And you must have some interesting stories, but continue.
Well, what I would like to bring up is that it's kind of, you know, what you're talking about, the transparency of trans people, mm-hmm. is kind of important. When I had a women's meeting, I brought a trans friend to the women's meeting, and they said, oh, heck, that's fine. However, I was just thinking about a lot of this, you know, Karl Rove kind of switched it around to mask the incredible, hugely horrible things that are going on in the world with genocide and then indigenous rights, the hugest thing that some of, I think, is a Karl Rovian kind of like switch it a little bit. Mm. And so I'm thinking the Chavez thing and grassroots thing that really impresses me is that all of the Hasidic people, the Orthodox Jews, speaking up and protesting at a time when the Cop City is starting to get bigger and looming so large. I think we got to really, I really kind of go back to the Carl Jaspers thing about all-encompassing to get a really large picture of subjectivity, objectivity, and see what's really going on, that our minds are being kind of switched around from what is the essential thing about what's going on right now, that there is a active genocide that's getting huger and huger. And I'm not really sure people are trying to switch it around, saying get rid of Netanyahu. But when I think about biblical things, being a Jewish Buddhist myself, who is a humanist, not a Zionist, is the idea about the categorical imperative, which includes like greed is really bad, and that covetousness is really bad. If you look at the biblical things about Moses and the Ten Commandments, you think we should not be lusting. And when they talk about mowing the lawn, I think I'm just going to go back to the 60s. Better make love and then pass the pipe and then not be thinking about being greedy and looking for the to be occupiers and imperialists. So I'm thinking about all these other things are super important. And I think that trans people are amazing, and they're within my midst. But the other thing is the stranger within our midst, the biggest ones, the bigger ones, is like, let's keep talking about Palestine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing and reminding us to continue to keep talking about Palestine.
Yeah, because we got the Democratic National Convention coming up again. We got to stop the war. I mean, that Vietnam was a bad thing. Look at this; it's worse.
Right, and it is, and so it is for those who are the Vietnam generation. We can draw lessons and support those who are engaged in this generation's battle for justice.
And one last little thing, like religion is fine, but we don't want to be la-di-da. I think if we really want to take action, that's a really important thing, not just kind of go la-di-da about hippity-hoppity, bunny and all that kind of thing. Take correct action is super important.
That is so true.
Thank you.
Correct action. Thank you so much. And also, Janet, just tossed out earlier, Immanuel Kant, categorical imperative. Gosh, now that's great. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Phone number this morning for you to call and share about what is happening in your world, particularly we've been speaking about the confluence of forces around the Cesar Chavez birthday on March 31st, the Trans Day, and also the Trans Day of Visibility. And what are things that you think that people can do and should do to create community? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And I just wanted to remind our listeners, all of you, of a program on KBOO to hear more, to learn more, Transpositive PDX, which is on Tuesdays from 6 to 7, hosted by Emma Lugo. And I invite you to tune into that program and hear more. That's Transpositive PDX on Tuesday at 6 p.m. And the host is Emma Lugo. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and today is the 1st of April, 2024. Okay, I walked into the studio and was, you know, expecting some tricks, but nothing happened so far. So, so are you a trickster or have you been tricked? I'm going to go down this route. So who is the trickster? You know, I thought it must have been an April Fool's joke when I saw this trickster hawking a religious text on their social media platform, and it wasn't a joke, I guess. It was serious. And boy, there are so many tricksters. But there are ways in which people are standing up and are standing up for justice. And again, I just want to emphasize that in Turkey, that you may have heard in the elections, the local elections in the last couple of days, Turkey oppositions did a stunning victory. They did extremely well, surprisingly well, against Erdogan's party. So it's maybe a symbol that there are ways in which nations, peoples can stand up against authoritarianism and different ways in which people are standing. I've mentioned again also the demonstration in the state of Israel opposing the present government and the prime minister. Those are examples in which people are standing up. And so there are ways in which people are living into the, following the example of people such as Cesar Chavez, who offered us not only a vision of a different world, but means in which we want to enable, to create it. It is so important not only to think about the world in which we live, not only to talk about what we denounce, but things in which we are doing to help create a better world. So in the spirit of Cesar Chavez, and in honor of Trans Day of Visibility, what are examples in which you are standing up and advocating for justice for those? Who are those people who inspire you and continue to encourage you? And, well, let's be frank, what do you do when you are discouraged? What do you do when you are discouraged? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And want to share a little bit more this morning while waiting for your inspiration and for your conversation, to talk about and to honor the legacy of Cesar Chavez and what that means for all of us. A caller earlier, Janet, who mentioned some of the things that happened, she experienced in the 1960s and 70s with, you know, one prominent figure from that era, David Dellinger, but a prominent figure for that era was Cesar Chavez, who organized many farm workers and was able to organize activists throughout the nation in support of farm workers and in solidarity. And those of you who are a bit older might remember the boycotts, the grape boycotts, you know, and picketing, and Cesar Chavez and many others, and of course don't want to in movement, and want to also honor his co-founder of the National Farm Workers Union, Dolores Huerta. But they and thousands of people lived the life of social justice and told us what it meant to stand for social justice and how to live a life. Oftentimes, when we look back on the 1960s and 70s, we think of social justice movements, civil rights struggles in the South, farm workers' struggles in the West and throughout the nations. And I think it is helpful to not only look back, but to look forward. What are the lessons we learned from people such as Dolores Huerta, Cesar Chavez, Martin King, and others, in terms of organizing and working for justice? For more than three decades, Cesar led successful farm workers union, led the first successful farm workers union in the United States. They achieved dignity, the focus on respecting workers, fair wages, medical coverage, pension benefits, humane living conditions for farm workers. And certainly those are issues that continue throughout the nations in terms of the issues around workers and what are things that they should be working for. So we honor people such as Cesar Chavez because of what they did and what people like you are doing in your workplace, in your community, in your family, to promote and honor the dignity of work. We honor Cesar Chavez and recognize the work that he did and remember the importance of working for one another. So what are things that inspire you? Who are individuals who inspire you? We may talk about the Delano grape stripe that began in, you know, I think 1965, and that legacy. I'm talking about the legacy of Cesar Chavez and UFW, United Farm Workers. But what are those individuals that inspire you? Earlier, our callers talked about the work that they did and the things that are important to them. And also March 31st, we talked about Trans Day of Visibility, and one caller, Corey, mentioned about his work working with individuals here and finding housing, working with individuals to finding housing for a trans person and the challenge that they face to find housing. And that's why it is so important for those who have some privilege, who have some power, to stand up and support, to be not only allies, but to be fellow travelers and the fellow advocates and supportive persons in advocating for justice for all. And that means standing up for those who are different, maybe different than you. Corey mentioned about advocating and working with and for a trans individual in order to find housing. You all have stories in which you work together, working in community for justice. And so how are you, what are some of the challenges you have faced? What are some of the questions you have faced in terms of what does it mean to be an ally? We all have privilege, each one. We may be cisgender, we may be male, we may be straight, we may be middle class, we may be educated, we may own a home, we may have access to certain politicians. We all have privilege. Are we using our privilege to advocate for those who are not as privileged as we are? How are we standing? I'm not sure if that's the correct word, but how are we in solidarity? And how with those who are oppressed? And how are we using the privileges, the power, to transform our society? That is especially important for those who have access to power. And again, I go back to the point that we all have access, we all are privileged in different ways. We may look around and say, well, I have no privilege, I have no power, I'm not wealthy, I may not be male, I may not be white, but I think in different ways we all have access to power, and we can use that in different ways. So what are ways in which you have been an advocate, or what are ways in which you have witnessed those with power or with influence or privilege use that for justice for those who have been marginalized? There are many ways in which, for example, people accompany people to abortion clinics is an example. A way in which you may use your power, your privilege, to advocate for someone else. You may use your power or your privilege by choosing where and how to shop. You have access. So where and how you shop. Are you supporting communities? We all are people with different privileges, and we should examine ways in which we support and work for justice. What are some of those ways in which you work for justice, in which you are encouraged and inspired by those? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. On this day, the day after March 31st, and the day before April 2nd, and that would make it April 1st. How are you a fool for justice? Such as Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, your neighbor down this street who works for a nonprofit, who spends time with children or advocating for the houseless community. We are all able to work and do things for justice. What are ways in which you have been influence and ways in which you continue to inspire. We all have ways in which to do that. Let me, as I wait for some of you to share some of your reflection, our numbers again of 503-231-8187, I would like to share a little bit more on Trans Day of Visibility and ways in which people are standing with the trans community and ways in which you might not only bring awareness, but ways in which you might be able to stand in solidarity. What is it that you can do? It's interesting that the White House recognize and honor the Trans Day of Visibility, and that the opponent of the president, his most prominent opponent in the election, in this election, was very upset with that. But I think there are things you can do and things that we can do to encourage. Let me read you something from Rachel Crandall Crocker about the Trans Visibility Day. They are one of the founders of Trans Day of Visibility. Randall Crandall Crocker is a psychotherapist and executive director of the nonprofit advocacy group Transgender Michigan. Still can't believe it. It really is amazing how far it has come. I wasn't expecting to start an international movement. Currently, more than 1.6 million people in the United States identify as transgender, according to a 2022 study. And it continues to be a community that experience restriction and violence. And so it is important to continue to advocate. In 2009, Crandall Crocker wanted a reason to come together and feel joy with other members of the trans community. At that time, the only holiday she knew was geared towards trans people was the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is celebrated on November 20, which is remembered on November 20th. It's a day dedicated to honoring the lives lost to anti-trans violence. Crandall Crocker said that she wanted a day that focused on the living, and thus came the idea of the International Transgender Day of Visibility, which falls on March 31st. Now, for all of you who were concerned about why did it fall on Easter, fall on this, and all you got your were concerned, well, Easter changes every year. Crandall Crocker wanted to choose this springtime date, March 31st, because she wanted some distance between the Transgender Day of Remembrance in November and Pride, which is celebrated usually in the month of June. It is a time in which people can celebrate and recognize. And so March 31st, throughout the world, fly your transgender flag and honor those who are trans in your community. You are listening to more talk radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and I welcome your call each and every Monday. We've been kind of silent this morning, but that's okay because it is April 1st, and everyone might be tricking me, playing a trick on me by not calling. Or maybe it is a Monday, and I'm confused. But also recognize that this is a day in which we celebrate here at KBOO. The staff has the day off because we honor Cesar Chavez. And as I mentioned earlier, Cesar Chavez was an American hero, someone who organized hundreds of thousands of people throughout the nation and indeed throughout the world in advocating for farm workers' justice. And he is a labor hero. He is an inspiration to those who advocate for nonviolence and for those who search for justice for workers. Let's hear what our next caller has to say, and we'll speak with Liz. Good morning, Liz, and I appreciate you for calling.
Oh, good morning, Cecil, and I appreciate you. I also feel a lot of hope because of your voice on the radio. I don't know why, I just do.
Okay.
But yes. Anyway, I just wanted to say that thank you for your program about the trans community. Appreciate people's expression, you know, of themselves. It makes life interesting to me.
Yes.
To go around and just see how people, you know, are today. And trans people are a part of the interest in, part of my joy and interest in life these days. And I just wanted to say that I did, when I was a college student, I went to Berkeley in the 60s, and we drove, you know, I was so young, 20 years old, and we drove down to Delano and volunteered with the farm workers. And I'm telling you, picking strawberries, and I'm telling you, I was so young, but my back hurt, and I thought, oh man, these people really work so hard. And so anyway, I definitely and taught school is what I did on a long time, and which I loved. And so anyway, thank you. Thank you. And my day is better because of your program today. Okay.
Well, thank
you. You're welcome, and thank you again. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Liz, and thank you for sharing your story and bringing joy to one another. And we all can do that. Thank you for sharing that story about what you did when you were young and working with the farm workers. And, you know, if those of us in Oregon who are interested in the continuing challenge that farm workers face, I'd refer you to the Farm Workers Union, PACUN, and there you can learn about the history of PACUN and the work and the of farm workers here in the state of Oregon. Go to pcun.org and you can find more about the Farm Workers Union in Oregon and their work there. Thank you all who have been listening on this April 1st day in which we celebrate and acknowledge here in Oregon in at KBOO, the staff is taking the day off to honor Cesar Chavez. On March 31st, we remember not only Cesar Chavez and the fight for low-wage workers, farm workers throughout the nation, and here indeed in Oregon, but also on March 31st, internationally, was Trans Day of Visibility. And as the founder, Rachel Crandall Crocker, said, she wanted to start a day of celebration, of joy. We all are aware, or ought to be aware, we have so much to learn from our trans siblings. We need to take time to hear and listen and be silent and hear their stories and think of ways in which we can celebrate life with them. So on this day after the Trans Day of Visibility, share joy. Share joy with the trans family and friends and selves, and honor and appreciate the joy. Our last caller, Liz, said it so wonderfully Liz said, trans people are part of my joy. Are they part of your joy? They ought to be. We all have something great to share with one another, and we ought to be our full selves. Let's continue to work for a society that people like Cesar Chavez dedicated his life for, a society of peace and justice for all. Cesar Chavez began working with farm workers, but he recognized that the cause for justice is not limited to farm workers, but it includes people from many community. It talks about not only the work of farm workers, but justice for all, nonviolence, the end of war, the creation in which all people, creation of society where all people are fed and housed and loved and protected. Trans Day of Visibility is a day of joy and resistance. A reminder that all of us, in all of our humanity, we all are precious. Let us continue to embrace and celebrate and protect and honor one another. And I want to again remind our listeners to tune into programming on tomorrow here at KBOO, which is Trans Positive PDX, hosted by Emma Lugo. It airs on Tuesday, the 2nd of April, from 6 to 7 p.m. That's one way in which you can hear, learn, and begin to be in solidarity with your siblings. You've been listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil. And, you know, before I go off the air, I just wanted to share with those of you, you know, for the last few weeks, I've been on this program by myself without Celeste, and I want to let those of you who are concerned that Celeste is taking a leave of absence for a while. So Celeste will be back, but right now she's taking a leave of absence, and wanted me to make sure that all of you know that. So this is More Talk Radio. I hope you are well, and I hope you continue to be well. This is Cecil Prescott. I will be with you next week. Take care of yourself and those around you. Stay tuned for more programming here on KBOO FM.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in a